Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we have a show for you today that, whether you believe or not what you will be hearing about, if nothing else, it probably will cause you to ask questions and to wonder where truth hides itself at times. My guest today is Jim Mars. His fascinating book is PSI, Psi, Spies, The True Story of America's Psychic Warfare Program. Jim, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna. It's a privilege to be with you.
Well, I'm so delighted because, having been involved in so much of the work of mind for so many, many years, anything that involves research and development of our own sensory system has been of tremendous interest to me. You're a man that has quite an interesting background. You earned a Bachelor of Arts degree in journalism from the University of North Texas, and you attended graduate school at Texas Tech in Lubbock, Texas. You worked for a number of newspapers, and in 1968, you served as a police reporter and a general assignments reporter, where you were covering local stories, and also you were in Europe and the Middle East, and then you went to serve with the 4th Army Intelligence Unit during the Vietnam War. You became a military and aerospace writer, also an investigative reporter. You have taught courses at the University of Texas. You've written a number of best-selling books. You, in 1997, decided you were going to do an in-depth investigation of UFOs. You published a book called Alien Agenda. And your materials have been translated into a number of different languages. They are known around the world. And you have won awards as a journalist. You have won several awards in writing and photography, including the Aviation Aerospace Writers Association National Writing Award, Newsmaker of the Year Award from the Fort Worth Chapter of Society of Professional Journalists, and you received Freedom Magazine's Human Rights Leadership Award. You're a man that has a passion, but this passion didn't start out. I'm sure if somebody had said to you when you're a teenager, boy, you're going to be writing about UFOs and government involvement, you would have said they were nuts.
That's absolutely correct. In fact, well, first off, I'm the last of a dying breed. I consider myself a generalist. Okay, I know generally about a lot of things, but I don't claim to be a absolute expert in much of anything. But then if you're a good journalist and you dig into a story, all of a sudden you find yourself kind of falling into that expert category because you have taken the time and trouble to actually try to find out about something. And it really, when I went and started college, I wasn't sure what I wanted to be. I couldn't decide whether I wanted to be a nuclear physicist or a fry cook. So I settled on being a journalist. but once I get into journalism, it satisfied my generalist curiosity about being able to poke around and research in a lot of different areas. And as a result, I really do feel like that I have a little bit broader view of society and events than most people, because most people in our society have become highly specialized. I'm constantly run into lawyers and doctors, who are, there's no question that they're wonderful in their field, but when you start talking to them about things outside their field, you find out that their knowledge too often is very limited.
Jim, I want to ask you a question that's a little bit away from the Psi Spies right at the moment. I want to ask you a question about being a journalist. In today's world, journalism has really lost its light. In the minds of so many people, they feel as if there are more lies given than truth.
Donna, I wouldn't argue with you one bit. In fact, I try to tell people that basically there is no news media, no true independent investigative news media in this country any longer. All we have today are corporate advertising distribution systems. And if you happen to pick up a little news in the process, well, you know, just so much the better for you. What's really funny is that I hear journalists today screaming and hollering and decrying the fact that people call them media whores, okay? And yet, all the way back to the beginning of my career, I can recall sitting around in press clubs, not only in Texas, but in Washington, New York, and these guys would get in their cups, and they just lament to themselves, we're just whores, because they are at the mercy of the corporations that now control the mass media. They're at the mercy of editors and publishers who really have no background or interest in journalism. They are corporate managers. And so today we have about four corporations that now control virtually everything we see and hear. And this is why this esoteric subjects such as UFOs, parapsychology, it gets short shrift because they're not inclined to go dig into a story. They are more inclined to just take government handouts and keep very bland coverage so that no advertiser gets upset.
Jim, I bet we could go off on to journalism, but you've led into something right here which is related right to your book. So I'm going to save the question that popped into my mind for perhaps later on. Psy warfare, psy spies. Everybody knows about spies. When they see the James Bond movies, they often will go, or any of the others, will go, ho, 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 this is make-believe. The reality is there is so much that goes on that has been hidden through the years. And as certain seasoned, experienced people come out of their closet and stand up and say, well, they can't do anything to me, I'm too old now, so let me tell you the truth, it is creating a lot of, oh my goodness, I wish I had known about this before attitude on the part of many people. There's still high skepticism. But I want to read here a quote from your book, and this is how it goes. At the height of a Cold War, an American intelligence officer prowled the hallways of the Kremlin in Moscow, creeping up a staircase at the center of Soviet Russia's most secret intelligence operations. He suddenly froze when he saw a Soviet soldier on guard. Holding his breath, he slipped past the guard, who showed no reaction. Reaching his destination, the American passed through a locked doorway and began to study the maps on the wall. He was no ordinary spy, and seen by the guard, he had literally passed through a locked door because he was one of America's CSI spies, military men trained in the use of a psychic technique known as remote viewing. This spy was able to penetrate the Kremlin with his mind while his body lay on a cot in an obscure wood-framed building on the grounds of Fort Meade, Maryland, as he practiced a skill called bi-location. Physically, he was in one place, while mentally, he was on the other side of the planet. Now, people would hear that and say, wow, that sounds like something out of Star Trek or some fantasy that someone designed. But this is truly a technique that many individuals had developed centuries ago. Not much of it was given out to, let's say, the common person. But here we are with this training that's still going on in the background where there's still denial, and it's been going on since when?
Well, when I took a look backwards to find out if I could trace the history of psychic abilities, I found myself going all the way back to the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
In the Old Testament is a story of a Israelite prophetess named Deborah, who went to the commander of the Israelite army, which was about to go into battle with an army twice its size, and she said, I have had these visions, and here's the disposition of the enemy. And based on the information that Deborah provided, the Israelites were able to defeat an army twice as big as itself. And to me, that qualifies Deborah of the Old Testament as one of the world's first military remote viewers.
Now, your book in the preface starts out with the year 1992. You had a very successful book you had published, Crossfire, which was all about the plot and Kennedy's assassination. And you purposefully, as a journalist, decided you were going to look into what would be considered the dark side of government operations. How in the world were you able to even feel comfortable with that? Most people would be terrified to even explore something of that dispositioning.
Well, I've always been curious, and I've never been hesitant about sticking my nose into a good story. I suppose that's because I was brought up in the days of the old Republic when journalism was still free, and we were actually encouraged to be investigative and to dig deeply in the story. What happened, Donna, was that with the success of my book Crossfire, which was a basis for Oliver Stone's movie JFK, as I travel around the country, I'd ask people, what do you think's the next big, deep, dark, secret government cover-up? And almost unanimously, people said, well, we'd like to know what's the truth about UFOs. Well, I'd been interested in UFOs since a young man in the 50s and had kind of kept up with it. And I thought, you know, I'd like to know, too. So I began to establish and reestablish contacts within the UFO research community when I stumbled across a transcript from a conference in Atlanta held in 1992. And here was a military intelligence officer in public saying, well, UFOs are this, and they come from here, and they go through there, and they're transporting this, and they're transporting materials from Mars to the moon to the Earth. And I'm going, this is matter-of-fact tone, and I'm going, wow, you know, here somebody seems to know what he's talking about. And so I caught up with him, and sure enough, it turned out that he was one of the military remote viewers. And that's when I got onto the story. And, you know, of course, I said, well, what's remote viewing? I'd never heard of it. And it was explained to me that remote viewing is a technique that was developed by the CIA and then passed along to the U.S. Army, and that they formed a unit of operatives who actually were using the technique of remote viewing to produce intelligence data based on psychic probing. And I just went, whoa, what a story. I said, because in my mind, is either, you know, a hoax, didn't work, or it did work, one or the other. And I thought, you know, if this is fraudulent, then I've got a great story about a waste of taxpayer money. But on the other hand, if it proved to be true, I thought, what a story this is. This could be an evolutionary leap for mankind. And, of course, I found out as I began to research and talk to the people involved, talk to the oversight committees, talk to people, generals and military officers, people within CIA, and I found out it was all true. It was amazing. And the little intro you wrote that I think came from one of the publicity pieces for my book, Sci Spies, where it talked about the spy creeping through the halls of the Kremlin, I didn't make that up. That is almost verbatim what one of these military intelligence psychic spies told me of his experience of creeping around in the Kremlin. He said he came around a corner and there was a guard, and he almost freaked out until he realized that the guard couldn't see him.
Mm-hmm.
And so then he went on his way. And so it's amazing. It sounds like science fiction, but it's really true. And I'm sure that a lot of your listeners are probably going, well, wow, if this is all really true, how come I haven't heard about this? And the reason is pretty simple. The government, the U.S. government, within the U.S. government, we all know that knowledge is power. And the government has made a very concerted effort to downplay, dismiss, marginalize the story of the military remote viewing because they don't want everybody to know that they can access truthful information. It might disturb some of their programs.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why that in 1992, when I got onto this program, I had a contract with a major publisher in New York. I worked 3 years on this book, and in the summer of 1995, as I was prepared to break my big scoop to the public, very strange things begin to happen, and the bottom line is that it was mysteriously canceled, suppressed, censored, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But then within a few weeks, they had slipped the story to the supermarket tabloids, and they had a big story about CIA uses psychics to spy on the Russians. And, Donna, you know that if it appears in the supermarket tabloids, that's the kiss of death to the mainstream media, because they would never quote from a supermarket tabloid. And they use this to great advantage by, in amongst the junk stories, they'll occasionally you'll find something that's got some truth to it. And this way they can argue and they say, well, we're not suppressing anything. It was in the National Tattler. But, of course, if it's in the National Tattler, then the New York Times, the Washington Post, or your local newspaper isn't going to touch it with a 10-foot pole. And so they called up a study of remote viewing and put a man who was a total skeptic, in fact, worse than skeptic, I encourage healthy skepticism, but this man was a debunker, and he had tried to have the program stopped for years, and they put him in charge of the study, so it's not too hard to figure out that the story was dismissive. His argument was, although statistically they could prove that something was happening in the laboratory, they didn't really know how it worked. And his argument was, since we don't know how it works, it must not be working, which, of course, is pretty ridiculous. But then that's been a problem with the psychic phenomena all along. They can prove that it works, but they haven't really proven or clearly understand how it works. And, of course, that throws the scientific method right on its head, because you start with a theory on here's how this works, and then you test it, replicate it, and after a while, if you can duplicate it over and over, then it becomes accepted as real or even treated as a law. Well, they could show that this remote viewing was effective, it was working, but they didn't really know how. And if you're interested, I'll tell you how I think it works.
Oh, please do. Now, by the way, for those of you who are just tuning in, we're talking with Jim Mars, and his wonderful book, Psi Spies, PSI Spies. It's the true story of America's psychic warfare program. And I am so aware of this. And when I received the material and had a chance to read it, I knew that this was a must-do interview for the show. And by the way, he's got a website, jimmars.com, JIMMARRS.com, so you can find out more. Jim, how do you believe it works? What did you find out in your research?
Well, this is kind of my own personal opinion, so take it for that. But I'm interested to run it by you, Donna, because
sure.
Since you're interested and have delved into mind and matter and parapsychology, then see if this doesn't ring true to you. I think it goes back to what Albert Einstein called his unified field theory, which is the idea that the entire universe at its basis is actually a big seething mass of energy.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is energy. Even the material things are just, I don't know, intense or solidified energy. Okay? And as a result, that means that everything's connected. Everything's part of everything else. We're like drops in the ocean, you know. Individually, we're a drop, but collectively, we're a mighty ocean. And I'm talking about the entire universe. And therefore, when we have thoughts are energy forms. As we all know, the things that, you know, we can create a human being today from flesh and blood, kind of like Dr. Frankenstein, but we can't make it a person because we can't energize it with that self-aware, sentient thinking energy that is the personality and that is the distinct individual of each of us. Well, I think that collectively each of our individual energy cells, and we all know the human body is surrounded by an electromagnetic energy field.
Mm-hmm.
Science has shown that. Some people call it the aura. And individually, we're these sparks of energy, but collectively, I think we're all part of the whole. Just like in our brains, the things that we can build a brain, but we can't make it work. Or let's put it this way, it's like your computer. Your computer is materially, is just plastic and some cardboard and some wires, which is really basically nothing. The thing that makes your computer work is the little bytes of electricity jumping around on the motherboard. And likewise, in the human brain, it's the little bitty flashes of energy jumping between the synapses of the cells in the brain that provides, collectively, a self-aware thinking computing energy. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So when you have a thought, it's energy, and it goes out on this energy grid. And somebody else, if they're receptive and perceptive enough, they can pick up on it. And this is why in remote viewing, for example, if I wanted you to remote view the Eiffel Tower, I don't want to tell you to remote view the Eiffel Tower because you've seen pictures of the Eiffel Tower, you may have been there, and you can immediately get a little clear picture, mental picture in your head of the Eiffel Tower, but that's not remote viewing. So how do I tell you to look at the Eiffel Tower without saying, look at the Eiffel Tower? And what they came up with was what they call coordinate numbers. But the coordinates are not real coordinates. They don't coordinate anything. But they are numbers that in the tasker's mind represent the target. And somehow the viewer, the psychic viewer, picks up on this by looking at the numbers. And up on the universal energy grid, those numbers connect him to the target. And as he begins to interrogate himself about the target and perceive information about the target, then it becomes clear what the target is. In other words, if you were a viewer and you were looking at the Eiffel Tower and you start with a set of numbers, it could be anything. But as you go into your meditative frame of mind and as you begin to approach your target, get onto your target, you begin to realize that this is man-made, this is not natural, this is very hard, it's very tall, it's really hard, it's probably metal. You get the idea of gray or black. You also get the idea that there's a lot of people around it. You get the idea that it's on the earth. You get the idea that it's in Europe. Then you get the idea it's probably in Paris, and, you know, about this time you've been beginning to figure out, hey, it's the Eiffel Tower, and that's how it works.
There is a man that you discuss who is the first person that you start talking about. It is Officer Morehouse, David Morehouse.
Right.
Now, this man actually had an incident where he was shot, and the bullet that hit his helmet created such an impact that it knocked him out, and it affected his brain, where he found that he was having out-of-body experiences, going through all kinds of things, and it was something he really couldn't talk to anybody about because nobody around him would have had a clue of what he was going through.
That's exactly true, and ironically enough, he did begin to talk to a psychiatrist who was connected to a unit that he was attached to, and this psychiatrist just happened to be working with the remote Army remote viewers, and it was through that connection that David Morehouse became a Army remote viewer.
You also mention a former police officer. I actually think he was a police chief, and that is Pat Price, and he has since passed away.
Right.
And
I think he was a detective, wasn't he?
I'm trying to remember. He was so gifted,
right,
with remote viewing. I know that he worked for, I can't recall if it was the Highway Patrol in California, but he was recognized for his sensitivity. And when he volunteered to participate in these experiments, he was absolutely phenomenally accurate, and he dedicated a lot of his time to the research.
That's true. And I relate the story in there of how shortly before Pat Price died, he would go off and do remote viewing on his own, just things that interested him. And he showed up one day with a file, and he said, here, I've written up this report. And he had detailed where there were four alien bases on the Earth located under prominent mountains, one in Europe, one in Africa, one in Australia, and one in Alaska. And, of course, the people he gave the report to, they just kind of scratched their head. Well, okay. But then that his report lay in the files for a while, and later on, when Skip Atwater became the training officer or the executive officer for the Army's Remote Viewing Unit, one of the orders he had was to occasionally give them some exotic targets to go look at, you know, just to kind of stretch their mental muscles. And in a public presentation, he told about how that he sent several of these Army-trained remote viewers to go take a look at these four alien bases. And he just thought that'd be kind of a kick. Wasn't really expecting to get much back. And they all came back, and they all said, yes, they're here, and these bases are occupied by non-humans. And over at this base, it's like a maintenance base. They're working on flying saucers. And over here is kind of an R&R base, and there's several different species interacting with each other. And the one in Alaska apparently is like a Earth monitoring station where they monitor the weather and pollution and all kinds of things that's happening geophysically on the Earth. And so Atwater was just blown away, and he actually came out and made a talk on this at a public presentation that I happened to be at, and it blew me away because now we're back to the lack of journalism. Here was a decorated military intelligence officer under the Department of Defense who's talking about that they confirmed four extraterrestrial bases on the Earth in operation, and he's telling this in public, and there was no reporting on it. It never went anywhere.
Well, it's going somewhere because you just told us about it, right?
That's right.
Well,
I'm silly enough to just try to tell the truth.
Absolutely. And for those of you listening, as I've said, Jim Mars is my guest. His book is called PSI or Psi Spies, and this is the true story of America's psychic warfare program. And the reason the book, I feel, is so valuable is that Jim is a good reporter. The information, the references that he has, if you are curious, if you want to know good information, not woo-woo style, but really want to get an inside track on this is a marvelous, marvelous book to read. His website is jimmars.com. That's jimmars.com. You'll find out about General Thompson, who made a statement publicly that he was convinced that remote viewing was a real phenomena. It wasn't a hoax. They couldn't explain it, but they weren't so much interested in explaining it as in determining whether there was any practical use to it. This is a must-read book. Jim, before we close out our chat today, what would you like to leave my audience with in the way of a thought?
Well, I think Shakespeare pretty well summed it up when he says there's more things under heaven and earth than are dreamt of in our philosophies, Horatio, except I would make that Donna's audience. There's a lot going on that we're not being told about. There's a lot of technology that's being tinkered with that is not public. The UFO issue is huge. It's probably the biggest issue in the history of the world, but it's being suppressed and by the establishment media because they just don't want to deal with it. Plus, there's been a concerted government blackout on that type of information ever since the early 50s. I think perhaps at that time the certain political and military chiefs thought that it might cause panic if everybody understood that the Earth was being visited by non-humans. But I think today, with generations brought up on Star Trek, Star Wars, I don't think that argument holds true. And I think the reason today that this embargo continues is because the plutocracy that actually runs this country, the wealthy elite, they base their power on and wealth on their monopolies over basic energy, pharmaceuticals, communications, and I think they feel threatened because they don't really care if we know that there's ETs out there or that there's UFOs, but they do care because if we know that, we would also know that there are alternative technologies, and this might endanger their monopoly.
Your words are powerfully and clearly stated. Jim Mars has been my guest today. Jim, it is absolutely a delight. Go to his website, jimmars.com. That's J-I-M-M-A-R-R-S. Jim, it has been an absolute delight. Please keep up your journalistic reporting, and I hope there are students out there listening that will want to be in touch with you to learn how to do it the right way.
Okay. Thank you, Donna. It's been great being with you.
This is Donna Sebo. We're going to a break. Don't you go away now. More good things to come.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedros. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and again, I want to give out Jim Mars' website, jimmars, jimmars.com. Fascinating information and a wonderful story, and I'm sure you'll want to know more. So don't hesitate to visit his website. Telephone lines are now open. If you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, here are the telephone numbers to call, 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. For Canadians, it's 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Also, we have a direct line of 530-876-3222. It's 530-876-3222. And all I'll need from you, if you're a first-time listener, I just need your first name or your initial. And then after we answer the phone line, just know that I'll give you my mental impressions. And then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you like. We've got a caller waiting. Let's go to that line. First name or initial, please, and where are you calling from?
My name is Elaine. I'm calling from New Jersey.
Where in New Jersey, dear?
Wayne, New Jersey.
Wayne, okay. Well, it's delightful to have you on the air, Elaine. Now, what I'm looking at with you right off the bat, oh boy, you're going to have some dental work that needs to be done, and it may need to be done in phases. And I would say when you find out what you are going to have taken care of, you probably are going to swallow your tongue almost because you're going to say, oh my goodness, I really didn't need the expense at this time. But I believe they'll work with you on a payment plan. But do have the dental work taken care of. Also, there is something here regarding sensitivity with your skin. And I feel like I just want to scratch. I can't figure out what is wrong. There's an irritation. Well, I think what's happening is that you've either eaten or you have drunk too much of something where the body is getting rid of it through the skin. So there's an irritation or sensitivity. Be aware of your diet. if maybe you've had a real busy schedule and you've had a whole bunch of orange juice or something like this, it's not common to your everyday diet. You've had larger volumes or whatever. Look at what you've been ingesting and see what it is that perhaps can do this. And I would just say, drink a lot of water to help whatever's in the system wash out, and I think you'll find the skin sensitivity will go away, because no matter what you put on it, it's just like it's itching from the inside out. So just be aware your diet, you are sensitive over, you know, having too much of anything is just going to not be good for the body. The body will let you know, and skin sensitivity is one of the signs. Also, I'm seeing you around some kind of a substance, and I'm wondering if it's a cleaning substance of some kind. I'm seeing a fume, and I want to say it's invisible. So what you need to remember is that you might get a splitting headache, and it's an allergenic sensitivity to whatever is in this fume. So just a word of caution. Be sure you have something in the way of a mask. You cover, you know, make sure your eyes are covered and your face and is covered pretty much. So if you had to put a towel around your face, if you're doing something with anything that could give off a fume, do that, but insulate your sinuses and your mouth from inhaling it inadvertently, because I am seeing almost immediate reaction. You know, some people have headaches that they get. I know I'm one of them. If they're around perfumes, have you ever had an experience like that?
No.
Okay. Well, I, for example, if I'm around people that wear perfumes and colognes, depending on what type it is, whatever is chemical is in certain ones, I'll get an instantaneous headache. I've been this way ever since I've been a teenager. There is something in that that will irritate me. Well, it's the same thing with you. So I want you to just be aware that whatever chemical might give off an invisible fume, it could be an oven cleaner, it could be, you know, something like a bleach or whatever. Make sure you're working in a ventilated area and take time to cover your eyes, your nose, and your mouth so that you're not going to, again, absorb it in that way. What question would you like to ask me today?
My mother had passed on about 3 years ago, and does she send me any signs that she's around me? Does she have any messages for me?
Give me your mother's first name.
Her first name is Aaliyah.
All right. When I'm looking at her in my mind, what I'm looking at is that she is around you intermittently, but your mother is someone who really didn't have much of an opportunity to go in for the learning she wanted to have. There were too many responsibilities and obligations she felt, and she usually would put other people first. And so what I am seeing is that she sort of, when she passed over, she sort of relinquished her caretaking role, and periodically she will give you some kind of what you would call a sign to let you know that you're loved and that you're, that she's very much aware of what's going on in your life. But your mother's a very busy woman. I think she is, one, very much at peace, and two, she's really enjoying a lot of what she's having an opportunity to explore, and that's one of the things she wants you to do is continue your education so that you will not be locked in by particular circumstances as she was in her life.
Is she happy?
Oh, yes, very much so. And I'll tell you what I think is going to make you aware of her presence, and it's like it's sort of a quiet time. You're sitting, and there's this very soft brushing across the top of your hand. It's like a warm breeze that comes over the top of your hand, and I'm feeling it up the left side of my body. And it's just this wonderful warmth. But I will tell you, she really wants you to go on with your education. Don't get stuck the way she felt she got stuck because she didn't have it.
Okay, and who is she reaching out? Like when she was passing on, she was reaching out. She kept putting her arm out, reaching out for someone.
I'm sorry, hon, I don't understand your question.
My mother was reaching out when she, before she passed on. She was reaching out in the hospital, and the hospital, she kept reaching, like she was reaching out for someone.
Oh, my goodness, that is so common. Yes, she probably was, for someone that she loved a great deal that was there welcoming her. You know, that is a phenomenon that is so very common, and often people don't talk about it, and I'm so glad you are, because it happened with my mother when she passed away. I was not present when it occurred, but I was told this by a member of family that before she died, that she sat up as best as she could in bed, and she was in a very critical situation, obviously, and she'd been very, very ill for a long time, and her face just lit up, and she mentioned certain people's names, and they had passed on years before, and she was happy. She was very happy. So when something like this occurs, and if you were there to witness it, what a wonderful gift you were given, because your mother was greeted, was loved, and she didn't feel alone, and she passed over, made her transition in a wonderful way. Were you there when that happened?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness, how wonderfully fortunate you are. What a gift you were given.
But I didn't realize it at the time that she was reaching out to someone.
Well, you were so consumed with the fact that you were there, you would perhaps have wished she had reached out to you, made some statement to you. But remember, she was transitioning. Her body was no longer going to serve its purpose, and we're all going to go sometime, and you should be so, so happy over the fact that she saw someone that she loved that was there to help her make that transition. You were given a wonderful, wonderful gift.
Will she be there for me when it's my time to go over?
I'm not able to answer that for you, but I know that there will be members of family that will be.
Does she know I'm still grieving for her? Can she hear me when I talk to her?
Oh, of course she can. Of course she can, my dear. You know, that's something that I think so many times we, because we're in this other vibrational frequency, and that's exactly all that it is. Because when people leave this experience, they're vacating the vehicle. It's sort of like a used car. And they're saying, well, this isn't working anymore. And they move on into another frequency. And that's why some people who are able to see those on the other side, not everybody is able to, but many people can, they are able to get tuned in to that frequency. And it's there. And if we really saw everything that was going on around us, we'd be flabbergasted. We really would, because this world of ours is extremely limited as we're able to perceive it. But just like my guest that I had on at the beginning, my guest was talking about how these different individuals have been trained to do what's called remote viewing. Well, that is a different frequency tuning that people can be trained to develop if they have a particular capacity or sensitivity for that. Not everybody can, but they can. So your mother, she may have vacated her chassis, so to speak, but she's moved into an entirely different arena. Who she is and what she is as an energy has not disappeared. And she'll come in periodically to sort of check on you and visit, but understand, she's out and she has got the chance to do a lot of things that she didn't have an opportunity to do while she was living in this experience.
Well, that's good. In other words, now she has the opportunity to do more.
Oh, absolutely. She loves to learn. She loves to learn. And that's why I'm getting the information. She wants you to continue your education. Don't get stuck the way she did.
And why doesn't she come in my dreams? I tell her to come in my dreams.
Well, she's not always going to be able to come to you when you want it, dear. She's not at your beck and call. She's got a life of her own.
Mm-hmm.
Your life is your job. That's up to you to take care of it. I'm sorry, hon. I'm going to have to go. It's
okay,
break time.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. You have a wonderful life now.
Thank you. You too.
This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break. Don't go away. We've got more good things to share. And if you want to call in and chat, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. We will be right back.
Thank you.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again,
17, I lost my dream. Packed my bags with little things. 2 more days, I'm off the plane. The whole world's gone insane. They gave me orders, take this gun. You'll have to shoot this till the day you're done. Fear takes over me, now I'm facing my...
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. I'd be delighted. Delight up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. If you're in the U.S., it's 877-876-5227. If you're in Canada, it's 888-815-9756 or our direct line of 530-876-3222. Now, I want to let you know on September 29th, those of you who are listening from the state of Washington, I'm going to be attending the Boeing Parapsychology Expo, and that is going to be on Saturday, September the 29th. So I will be there for the entire day. I will have books with me. I also will be doing many consultations. Now, you can get more information by going to BEPC, Boy Edward Paul Charlie, boyedwardpaulcharlie.com. That's the Boeing Parapsychology Expo site. You can get all the directions, and you'll be able to find out all the information there that you may need to have to get there. It's a one-day event. It's held twice a year. I wasn't able to do it this spring because of my traveling schedule. I was out of state, but I am able to do it this month on Saturday the 29th, and I'll be sharing more information with you regarding that as we get closer and closer to the date. You also can go to my website, DelphiInternational.com. You can go to my calendar. You're going to be able to find out where I will be appearing during the month of October. I'm going to be in Alaska, Southern California, Las Vegas, and New York. So I've got a very intense traveling schedule, and I will be available for private appointments in those areas. And if you need to call me, because my time will be limited in each of those locations, all you need to do is call my office at 800-872-8852, and I will be glad to set up a time to meet with you according to the schedule that I have available. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you want to chat, 877-876-5227, or Canadians, 888-815-9756. Tomorrow, my guest is going to be Linda Balbi, and she has written an absolutely awesome book called Renaissance Woman, and the history of women, their political positioning, their social positioning, and how we have evolved to the positioning we're in today. Well, it is a story that needs to be told, and Linda's done a wonderful job at documenting it. Next week, we are going to be traveling to Scotland via the wonderful, wonderful ways of technology to talk with Ronald Russell. And we're going to be talking about the journey of Robert Monroe. For those of you who are regular listeners, you'll probably remember when I tried to have Ronald on before and I got stuck on the Beltway in Washington, D.C. and could not get to a location to do the broadcast. So we had to cancel it and reschedule it. So he is going to be with me on Monday. And then Doreen Baznack is going to be my guest. Excuse Me, Your Life Is Now. Wonderful book. You're going to love Doreen, and she's going to be sharing her insights with us. Daryl Hickman, a very, very skilled actor, is going to be sharing his insights into that world that we all enjoy so much, whether it's television, movies, whatever the medium is. Acting is something that's a phenomenal field. And he has written a book called The Unconscious Actor. And this is something that I found absolutely awesome. Then we're going to get into haunted Richmond, Virginia. Ooh, it's good time. The weather's changing. It's time for spook stories. Real good stuff on Dark Nights to Share. And then Sail Into Your Dreams with Karen Menringer. Excuse me. We have a great lineup of guests, and I'm so glad I'm able to share it with you. But before I can share any more, we're going to be going to this next caller. Welcome to the show, first name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Hi, Dad. I'm Anne calling from Ontario, Canada.
From Anne from Ontario. Oh, my goodness. It's a delight having you on the air.
Thanks.
Now, Anne, when I'm watching you in my mind, I feel as if you're at a crossroads. Now, this is interesting to me because I'm actually seeing two crossroads. I'm seeing one in your personal life and one in your professional life, and they are very separate from each other. I find it fascinating because you need to handle each one in its own individual environment. And you may want to bring it together. You may want to make it something that, gee, if I do this, it has to affect the other. That's not necessarily so. I think you need to really look at the facts. You need to deal with the facts, not be afraid of them, so that you can put them in their proper perspective. It will make all the difference in the world. I give you 2 weeks, and I think if you can have clarity, take time for yourself. If you need to turn off the phone, turn off the television, the radio, go someplace, whether it's the public library, the park out on a seaside section of town, whatever it may be, but you need to have the quietness so that you can really have clarity of thinking. Have a notebook in your hand and just know that you will have the time that you need to really go through all of the facts and weigh things out. Because what I'm looking at is the seesaw effect that you're going through emotionally is being caused by the fact that you're not taking time to be quiet. You're not putting things into place. So that is very important for you to do. Be patient with yourself, but you need that quiet time so that your decisions will be clearly viewed and understood. What's on your mind, my dear? What would you like to ask me about?
Well, thank you for that. I appreciate that and your point on as usual. I just have a question about a particular person who I... and this is the personal part, just sort of disappeared on me, no explanation, and I thought that we had really, really, really connected, and I don't know what happened.
Well, what's the person's first name or initial?
Ken.
All right. When I look at him, I really think what you need to be aware of is that this person is going through a lot of stuff. I'll just use that word, a lot of stuff. This individual did you a favor by just getting out of the way.
Okay.
You need to make that all right.
Pardon me?
You wouldn't want this person's stuff in your environment.
Okay.
Period. And also, it gives you a good insight into this individual, because this is a personality trait that they have that you have frequently attracted as well in other individuals that you've known.
Yeah.
So you need to take and pay attention to this and say, thank you very much. Universe, you've shown me again this is a person. I do not choose to attract this kind of person anymore. You're not this individual's mother. You're not the going to be the one that's going to be the Band-Aid for their life.
Yeah.
And it's okay. It's not a bad thing. Just bless this person and move on.
Okay, so I got to move on.
You've got to move on. Don't sit around and wait. Move on.
Okay.
Now, this person will pop up again, but you need to be able to have clarity with this. There was nothing you did that was wrong. It's just part of this individual's experience. They haven't resolved certain things in their life. Oh, my dear Anne, I've run out of time.
Okay.
Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you so very much. I really appreciate it.
You're more than welcome. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Don't forget, tomorrow, same time, same place, and let your light shine. The world needs you. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.
And if you love good, good sense, hey, put up on your hand, hand.
Sense me like your disease is so green and pure. Flee from the power and smiling all. Book and all them other things that make your living spoil. Golly God so naturally grew from Jaja soil.
Sense me like your sense, and drop on my bless. Rasta mangori, put on your novels. And let the golly burn, burn everywhere. Smell the golly weed.
I have a crocus bag of sensory in the back of the Land Rover. My brethren bring for my in a U-Haul van all the way from Arizona. Him get a link from a Hondo, you two have a cousin down in Panama. Him work on a cargo ship up and down the Caribbean area. Me say them can't stop the sensory. Wicked Babylon, land, land. And if your love good, good sense, hey, put up on your hand, hand, hand. Me say them can't stop the sense, hey. Wicked Babylon, land, land. And if your love good, good sense, hey, put up on your hand, hand, hand. If sense is just a herb, why they bite it down? Why they keep on telling people sense is so wrong? Really, I don't give a shit about sticking Babylon. Sense is the wisdom with the illumination. So bring your ganja tea, ganja brownie. Lick it in your chalice from the back of the Dutch tree. You say why it up, I move on with slaw. Sense every day, keep on with the doctor.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
I have a crocus bag of sensory in the back of the Land Rover.
Me brethren bring for my inna you all van only way from Arizona. Him get a link from a undo, you two have a cousin down in Panama. Him work on a cargo ship up and down the Caribbean area.